You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Oh. Everyone knows what that music means.
Yeah.
Moana?
No, it's Winning Wednesday. It's a, you should know this music by now. It's the third time we've played it after losing the original one.
So, this is better than the original one.
The Winning Wednesday original theme got purged because we had something weird happen with the J Drive, and anything that was saved over the summer was lost. But that won't affect the Sueys, don't you worry. We'll just forget the usual amount that we do every year with the Sueys. But it's a Winning Wednesday, and we haven't been that bad lately. No, we've kind of found our groove, fading Tony a little bit. Remember, if we win once every 3 weeks, you're in the black.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, these are plush juice. These are single game parlays.
That's juice, J-U-I-C.
And parlays and boosts and all sorts of ways.
You said juice?
Juice. So what are we doing today? Are we going to do a Phony Tony, or are we actually going to be experts?
So we're going to do half and half. So I have asked our friends over at the Underdogs podcast
They
may provide us with one pick for our Winning Wednesday. Underdogs and the Le Batard and Friends podcast network. Be sure to check that out. Tom Haberstroh. And the pick we got from Jordan Brenner is over half a first inning run in the A's Marlins game. Plus 125, have been given here is that Cole Irvin, who is on the bump today for the A's, has given up a first inning run in 11 of 22 starts, including four straight. Wow. So over half a first inning run, plus 125, first leg of our bet.
See, they give you stats. You know what? I give you feel.
Yeah.
I give you gut. I give you winners is what I do.
There you go.
Okay, so what I'm feeling right now, I've been looking through the slate, I'm really high on the Diamondbacks right now.
D-backs.
Yeah. D-backs look good, play good.
Why are you... Wait, they look good, play good?
Yep.
What? Are you just going uniform there?
A little bit of both.
Are you doing form?
No.
Because it
again,
can't be
Mike, it's not
form.
About form.
Yeah, don't ask.
Do you it's not just, get what yeah. I'm doing? Right. It's about gut. It's not about form.
They are red hot.
Gut. Thank you.
They just won their most recent game.
Exactly. You're only good as your last game, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Exactly. So I'm gonna take the Diamondbacks money line.
You're going Zach Gallen tonight.
Milkman.
That's right.
Man.
So for the purposes of Winning Wednesday, we are taking the live doggy Royals that are going up against Tony's pick. That's right. We are fading Tony. It's a phony.
Wait.
Live dogs.
Yeah, that's how it goes, Billy. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He feels so good about the Diamondbacks, we're going to go the other way because obviously he's wrong because we're all very bad at this. And that's a Winning Wednesday. An educated pick, courtesy of the Underdogs.
Boring.
And a fading Tony phony. Let's go Royals.
What tickled you so much about the half a run in the first inning?
First of all, I'm so happy to be here with you. I want to thank the Academy. It's so good to be here. This studio is so small. Oh my God.
Imagine when Dan's in here.
I'm way too close to you right now.
Is Dan sucking up all that air?
And space.
Tell me what you said about the parking garage this morning.
So I came down from New York to be here for a couple days, and I'm happy to do it. And I was told by Witty where to park. So he said, he used an expression that I assume is just a young expression. He's like, pound that in your GPS. I didn't know what that meant, but I assume.
You said pound that in your GPS?
I might have said punch. Yeah. I might have said punch that in your
maybe
GPS.
Maybe he said punch that into your GPS. Yeah. I just assumed, I guess I had to put in the name of the place. So I put in.
He's British. It's pounds there, dollars here.
Oh, I got it. So I Brexited the garage. I get into the garage and Are you offended by Brexit?
Low-key, 30 has hit Chris Whittingham kind of hard. If he's saying pound that into your GPS, when I walked into this studio, I'm going to a concert with Witty. I'm going to a concert with Witty in a couple of days. I sit down. He's at his keyboard, and he looks up, and he's like, rather excited to watch Kid Cudi. And he just put his head down.
He invited me yesterday to go see Kid Cudi. I'm rather excited to go.
I'm like, do you like Kid Cudi?
Yeah, I know a few of his songs, but, you know, I'm excited to learn more when we go to the concert.
Excited to learn more.
But are you going to listen to his songs before you go? That's the question.
Well, you do homework.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Solo Dolo and all that.
Witty, we were in high school around the same time. We graduated at the same time. You did not know Man on the Moon.
Day and Night, know that song?
Yeah, but you didn't listen to that in high school?
No,
it was like
no.
The formidable years of our high school listening was like Kid Cudi, Wiz Khalifa.
That was your generation's emo music.
Yes, it was.
Man on the Moon? Oh my God. 100%. Super emo.
I love that album.
Yeah.
Love it so much.
I when I was going through my darkest times with the Suns, that was the album.
Oh my God. He just made an album for me.
Wish you worked for the Moons.
Oh.
That was less than stellar.
Oh, brother.
that had the smell of the Pelican Garage.
Intergalactic, you and me.
Great song.
I love that song. But it's a great song. Cudi tapped
it's about
into,
mushrooms.
So yeah. David
Cudi just tapped into something. I was right there for him. Are you kidding me? A half Latino Browns fan who lost a parent? Yeah, just like right in my veins. You have trouble sleeping? So do I. Let's go.
Why are you going to a concert together? Is this like a get-to-know-you date? Is this a because we're friends outside of the box date?
We've gone to plenty of concerts together, haven't we?
We've gone to England together.
We saw Robbie Williams in England together.
Robbie Williams, wow. What's the name of the group? Westlife?
Oh my God, no.
What was the original group called?
They had that song. Whatever I said, whatever I did, I didn't mean it.
I remember I was in Europe.
I just want you back for good.
I was in Europe when he went solo, and that was a big deal. It was a big deal when he went solo.
Yeah.
It was like Beyonce leaving Destiny's Child for them.
But he wasn't supposed to be the star. He was the bad boy of the
group. Yes, he was the bad boy.
He didn't have the singing chops.
That's how you know.
But then he had hits. I love Robbie Williams. But by the time we got around to Robbie Williams, it was just us and a bunch of moms.
Yeah.
It was just a big mom crowd. He was touring a Christmas album that I actually fancy. I love that Christmas album. He has a song with Tyson Fury on that album. It's not bad.
I was in Vegas, and there was a New Kids on the Block concert. And let me tell you, the casino was swarming with women about my age and a little older who were just swooning over the prospect of catching a glimpse of Donnie.
You know? Yeah.
Were you trying to get scraps? Like, or you just were gambling?
Scraps. I'm gambling again. Yeah. I want to hear more about the garage. So
the garage.
You pounded into the GPS. And then what happens?
So I'm getting there. I had not commuted from Lauderdale to Miami since 2017. So I'd forgotten how absolutely brutal that is and how uncomfortable it is. So I get to the garage and I'm sort of shocked that it's a garage, right? I don't know how it's been inspected by Miami Beach. I don't know how it's passed any inspections. I assume there's no
inspections.
I mean, yeah. By the way, you want it to collapse like Surfside?
I had to park on
the fifth floor, and I'm not happy about it.
You have to be worried about that. There was one time they thankfully patched it up, but right by the elevator, there was just a hole.
What?
There was just a hole where you could see the
ground
floor below.
the water level?
No.
Water table?
No, it's like on the third floor. Someone hit one of the blockades over there, one of those pillars, and it ripped it out, and there was just a hole, and you could look down the bottom of the hole and see the elevator down below.
I'm just telling you guys that I would not, were I to be in this studio on a daily basis, I would not be parking in that garage every day.
Well, you're a clean freak.
Well, it's not just that. I don't find it safe. I don't find it good. I didn't enjoy the process of getting into the studio from the garage. Like, that would be a point of contention that would be brought up in any sort of negotiation that I will not be parking in that garage.
Yeah, you're
speaking my language, Samson.
you're right about it. It's not great. who it's not great, but it's better than walking three blocks from 7th Street. We used to do that.
Who knew that the common ground that Jess and David Samson
would be garages?
Would be garage safety.
When you got down to the first floor, did you like high kick the door open? I enjoy that every morning.
You guys got to stop doing that.
I have almost killed my...
You guys
have to stop doing that. I'm telling you, people do that. They think they're Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. They kick the shit out of that door, and they think that no one's walking behind
them. No, you have to.
I've been hit by that door twice.
You have to.
Tony almost took my head off.
Why do you have to kick it? Why can't you just do it with your ass?
No, it's stuck. It's stuck. And it's not just a push thing. It's not just like you can bump it with the side. Like, you can go and throw your whole body weight at it, and
sometimes
it won't
open. Sometimes
it
doesn't
open. You have to kick it.
Your podcast door in this studio, I recorded nothing personal. You put me in the podcast room.
That lock is finicky.
Just so you know, I was done 7 minutes prior to executing my exit from that room. I could not get the door open. And I didn't want to, on my first day here, to be the one calling, saying help, or screaming for help. It was locked or closed in a way that made it impossible to open.
You guys really need to stop kicking that garage door open. It is so freaking dangerous.
There was one time, because I take the stairs, right? I like a nice little jog in the morning. Yeah. I usually go down 3 or 4 flights of stairs.
Attaboy.
And then when I get there, I mean, I am like Israel Adesanya. Like, I am kicking that door like almost off the hinges, okay?
So bad. No, don't have to.
The problem is,
how do you get out of it?
There's a way to measure the kick, though, where you kick it hard,
I've been more measured,
but not hard enough to where, like, it just pops it open.
That's why you should use your ass or your shoulder.
No, David, it doesn't work. The ass doesn't work.
Mike, what do you do? Lady. Mike, you're complaining about the kicks. What do you do?
I don't actually walk down that stairwell because I find it so disgusting. I either take the very dangerous elevator or I walk down the ramps.
You walk down the ramps?
Which is
by the way,
so
the cars
dangerous.
Are going so fast. I almost got into
really
a crash
dangerous.
Going up the ramp, by the
so
way.
Dangerous.
Because someone was coming down and there's not enough
the
space.
Well, the
for
garage,
both.
One of my favorite features about this death trap of a garage is that they've removed like some of the mirrors that show you when the cars are oncoming.
I never look at those anyway. The blind spot mirrors.
They're just missing on a couple floors and they just haven't gotten around to replacing them over a couple of years. So
listen, if you guys need representation, I would only say that you have to talk about, it is very important, right, for any employer to focus on how their employees get to work.
Right.
It matters.
Well, they do. We have the closest parking imaginable. And it's a lot better than walking the three blocks in the summer heat. As difficult as this garage is, like that walk was brutal in the summer. And we'd always have these passing thunderstorms. And you'd have to bring an extra pair of shoes.
All I would do is give my employees options, right? I would give you the Pelican option, but I'd also give you the 7th Street option, and I'd make it neutral, financially neutral for you and let you decide. And even on a daily basis, you could decide given the weather, given how you're feeling, given what you're schlepping. I like the option scenario.
But to me, the most dangerous thing about the garage is the human error, which is it's so disgusting in parts that people kick things with their feet with such a ferocity that honestly, this one woman was having a really terrible day. She came down, and if the door would have hit me, it would have done some serious damage. She felt really bad afterwards and apologized because she knew she took out whatever.
But Mike, now that you know, why do you walk so close to the door?
There's really not a lot of room because
you just
I gotta
walk like this and you get close. So
you
you're
do
ready
that
to
too.
Brace yourself.
There's not a lot of room between the door and the wall. And then I have to straddle the wall, which is also kind of gross, by the way.
I've never touched a single thing in that garage with
That's
my hands.
It.
Ever.
That's why you have to kick
it's
it.
Only feet. Buttons on the elevator, toes. Door feet.
No, you don't lift your hands to do a crane kick when you're trying to do a door like that because you're risking having your hands touch the wall.
You use your
so
toes
you cannot
to push
take
the
that chance.
Everywhere, Billy.
You use your
Wait,
toes
what?
To push
I use
button.
My toes to open doors
That's
and handles
kind of
all
gross.
The time.
That's
Is this
gross.
A
well, not your,
just
wait, your shoe, your coverless
toes?
My literal toes, yeah.
You are.
No, she doesn't mean that. Time out.
That's why I can't.
We shouldn't be touching.
That's why we're kicking
the
door.
Wait, let me see the shoes right now. You're talking about your actual toes?
I'm not putting my feet on video, David.
No, but your actual toes?
When I'm wearing sandals, you know.
That's the same.
I'll slip a toe out. I'll slip a toe out.
Oh, disgusting.
I'll let a toe out. I'll press a button with a toe.
Two Americas.
Oh, it.
Three Americas?
Making Daniel Day-Lewis proud.
Just
what?
Disgusting. What? Just do
no. My left foot.
My left
Anybody?
Foot.
My left
reference.
Foot. Yeah.
Dated
yeah.
reference.
You I use my right though.
That's a dated reference.
Well, she wasn't born.
Yeah, my
when
left
it came
foot
out.
Is a dated.
Oh, so she hadn't seen it.
Daniel Day Lewis has been retired for what? 8 years.
Phantom Thread was his last movie.
Great flick.
So to make a short story, obviously longer. I made it in, but there was someone to help me touch the doors and show me the way, because otherwise I never would have found the way, which was through the kitchen, up the stairs to the right with a pass, then stop and say hello, and then record nothing.
Do you travel with like a hanky?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, podcast audience, he just pulled out an actual handkerchief.
A plaid hanky.
Like an boxer briefs.
Yeah,
it's not a boxer brief. What are you talking about?
How many of those do you have?
I had underwear that
was
exactly
that. I have a rotation about 50.
50 hankies.
They're not blow. They're not show. They're to touch and for sweat.
Oh, no. You got to have a different one for sweat,
right? Yeah, then you're rubbing the dirty stuff on your face.
You have two different sides, so it's based on how I fold it. It's based on how I fold it.
Do you do a new one every day?
Or yes, how often? Of course.
Ooh, what scent is that? I see a little Bath and Body Works situation over there.
Then you've got sanitizer, and then you've got Listerine.
I always use hand sanitizer after I press the button with my foot, by the way, because of germs.
You need
obviously.
Foot sanitizer.
Yeah.
What do you
they
mean?
Haven't quite invented foot sanitizer. It's like fungal powder is what foot sanitizer is.
Tough actin tenactin.
Boom.
I got fungus when I was a kid.
You know what's funny? When I was a kid,
revelation.
I would yearn for products on television that you didn't need. Yeah, like
like Trojans.
Athlete's foot looks so fun. Like they get the little spray and stuff. But
I was so disappointed when I used tenactin and like cartoon little green fungus wouldn't disappear.
Didn't die.
Yeah.
I had to get the special disgusting smelling cream when I had athlete's foot as a kid.
Terrible.
I have very bad feet.
Never had athlete's foot.
No?
No. It's weird that I've never used tenactin.
What about ringworm? Ringworm and athlete's foot are
careful
related.
With that.
Those are like for dogs, right? That's not
No. Like amateur.
Fernando Tatis has ringworm. That's why I took steroids to cure the ringworm. Yeah. Oh no, it wasn't ringworm. I've totally forgot. If you're going to lie, what is your view of how long a player should stick with a lie before stopping?
Forever.
Oh, so you die with the lie.
I die with the lie.
I don't mean in your regular life. I mean like a player giving you an excuse.
Like Pete Rose. You got to be like Pete Rose. I didn't do it.
He has not died with the lie. He's acknowledged gambling.
Did he?
The only thing that he has not acknowledged is gambling against the Reds, his team. Right? Against his team.
Well, so he's bet on the Reds.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to the theory that any time that he wouldn't bet on the Reds, therefore it's a bet against the Reds?
How much time, how much time did Tatis have between when he found out and can come up with that lie? Because like he has to appeal it at some point, right? So he's known it's gone through the appeal process, and then there's probably like a little window.
He did not appeal.
He didn't?
He did not appeal. So the way it happens is you get a call from the union saying that there's been a positive test. They then run it again. And then if it's positive again, then they will give you an opportunity to appeal. And you can appeal. And then you can drop the appeal anytime before a decision is made, right? When new information comes to bear, the union will call you and say, listen, not only do they have you having tested positive, but we've sent it to 3 labs. And by the way, what you're claiming, you're going to argue that you took it from a medicine in the Dominican that helps ringworm. We know for a fact that what you took and tested positive for only comes in a syringe, right? The amount that you tested for when you put it in your ass. Okay, I'll drop the appeal. So there's that whole time that you get.
But how much time did he have to come up with that lie?
It can be weeks.
Jeez.
It can be weeks. And then when you drop the appeal, then it's announced. And that's the only time the team is told. So everyone who thought the Padres were aware of Tatis testing positive, that is not accurate.
Yeah, because the conspiracy theories are like, well, that makes the Juan Soto acquisition make a little bit more sense.
And I'd be the first to try to MF A.J. Preller, right? The GM
of
the Padres.
What's your problem?
He's a liar, and he's ineffective,
like
and he's bad for the game.
He's not a liar.
What did you say? I only had it in my left ear. I think takes one to know one? Is that why they're all laughing?
Yeah, it's the younger version of that.
What's the younger version of that?
Real recognize real. But he's not a liar, David. He merely displays the behaviors of someone who lies.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can't.
So
it's a sweeping character.
We can quibble with bits all we want, but I don't even know what I was saying. Forget
but
it.
You,
David,
thank you so much, everybody.
Lying was your drug of choice. It was a callback.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me explain the way I lied. I lied in a way that would do the maximum damage to family maximum damage to the profitability and the ability to make money in work.
Oh, okay. So like little white lies.
No, mine were neither little nor white.
Oh, that's a Harry Styles, by the way.
That's a song, Little White Lies?
One Direction, yeah.
David, I have another question about Tatis. Mm-hmm. So Is it possible that MLB holds on to that suspension since he's rehabbing before they announce it? Like, let's say he tested in spring negative, right? But they're like, well, we're not going to announce it now because he's not going to play anyways. And then they wait until he's going to come back to put that out?
No. So it's a nightmare, right? For MLB to have had Tatis test positive has been a nightmare for them. He was their face. He was the one who they wanted. They wanted him in the World Baseball Classic. They wanted him back on the Padres because what Juan Soto is great, but Tatis is a far bigger personality. Mm. And so if there was a chance the Padres could play the Dodgers in the playoffs, the networks really wanted that. MLB really wanted that. So they're totally despondent. And so they would check that sample multiple times, right? It's not that they don't want to catch someone like that. They'd rather do releases where they catch the minor league players or the crappy relievers, right, who test positive and get suspended. They don't want to suspend Tatis. So once they find out, they want to get it done because they want him back as quickly as possible.
That's like is it Tarkanian who had the quote about the NCAA was so mad at Kentucky they gave Cleveland State 2 more years of probation?
That's the concept.
That's always fun. Right? The idea that, like, we've got to make an example of someone. How about him? Not him.
We can't. He's too good.
Bring him. Reel it back some.
Real recognizes real.
Yep.
I am using that. I may want that on my tombstone.
White guys. White.
Oh, man.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Howdy folks, it's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
The strangest place your son has made whoopee.
Like I'm supposed to know that? I made whoopee.
Picture it.
Stugatz.
There was a time, I think Christopher was in high school, and there was a time when I saw something I wasn't supposed to see, which was Christopher on the side of the house appearing to be...
Whoa. What are you talking about right now?
This is going great.
No, it was Christopher and a girl, and you know, she must have been bending over to tie her shoe or something because
Good God.
The correct answer is in his father's garage.
So you're close.
You desecrated my garage? The hell happened?
Twice.
What?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
If you bought the Angels, would you rename them?
Yeah, no question.
California? Or just Anaheim again?
I think I'd go back to California.
I think you can do, how about this? California Angels of Anaheim. No. California Angels of
the Los Angeles metro area, yeah. Parentheses, including Anaheim.
Yeah. California, I don't understand. So to me, it seemed a little counterintuitive. They made them the LA Angels to increase their appeal, make them worth more, increase their fan base. What increases your fan base more than just being California Angels? Now you got the whole state.
Well, the other thing is that calling them the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is the Angels Angels of Anaheim. So like if you're trying to appeal to the Latin fan base of Southern California, you're basically displaying your ignorance of the culture by calling them that.
Yeah.
And then also the idea that they would ever eat into the Dodgers market is so crazy. Like there's no way. This is a Dodgers town, it always will be. Like they're better off trying to just capture. They would have been better off trying to go south and try to steal the Padres, whatever fans the Padres have. But now the Padres have ruined that by becoming good.
You know,
so they're kind of screwed.
Inter Miami also does that. It doesn't make sense. They go by IMCF, but their official name is Club de Football of Miami. Like it's totally backwards. I don't understand why they do that. So you would think there would be some Hispanic people on hand to be like, that doesn't make any grammatical sense.
They're also tied to that stadium through 2029, I think.
Isn't that stadium a dump?
Yeah, it's terrible. And it is the worst thing, the worst way to spend your time in this state is to attend a day game in Anaheim in the summer. Like it's such an unpleasant experience. And I wonder whether the new owners aren't going to buy the team with the idea of moving them somewhere.
Well, that's
down
what
the road.
I want to bring in David Sampson, expert in the field, because I was going to ask you and Mike both. The Angels seem ripe for relocation, but I didn't know that tidbit about them being locked into their stadium lease. If Artie Moreno is selling, are people that are looking to buy looking to relocate, David?
They won't be allowed to. So no, anyone who buys that team in order to get the 23 votes, which is all that matters, the team will stay. And the whole Anaheim name, that was one of the huge, huge fights that Artie Moreno had with baseball. And we would basically MF him during owners' meetings when attendance would be taken. We would purposely call them by their formal Anaheim name, and he would be fuming. And then he just stopped going to owners' meetings because it was so petty. And he did it. The actual reason, I've spoken to him actually about what his story was. Not only did he want the San Diego market and Los Angeles market, that was not his main factor of why he wanted to get rid of Anaheim. He had such a war with Anaheim that he did not want them recognized in any way as part of the team. So he wanted to have total separation and have people know or believe that Anaheim had nothing to do with the Los Angeles Angels.
So why not California Angels? Why Los Angeles?
So that's the same Florida Marlins versus Miami Marlins, right? Isn't it better to call yourself the whole state? And there are studies that are done that show that you have to get better affinity, you want to be associated with a smaller geographic area.
It's very provincial. Wasn't the point, wasn't the whole thing that the lease agreement included the stipulation that the name Anaheim had to be in the name of the team?
Right. So that was done at a different point. And so what Moreno did is he basically stuck it at the end, but didn't put it on anything official, right? When he was doing releases, when he was doing contracts or doing any sort of media, he would call it the Los Angeles Angels. And then where the lease specified, he'd include of Anaheim. Remember when it was called the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? Mm-hmm. And then they just got rid of the of Anaheim part.
I didn't realize they got rid of it. Artie Moreno, this is a spectacular failure, right?
Well, you mean buying a team for $180 and selling it for $2.5 billion? Is that the failure part?
I guess that's not how I'm looking at it. I'm just saying, like, he was very serious. He spilled money all over the bar. Like, he was very aggressive and zero results to show for this.
There are people who believe that once the Anaheim Angels sell, that all of a sudden they'll start spending money, and they don't get it. Artie Moreno's been spending money. His payroll's probably in the 180s. They're like, oh, it's going to be like Steve Cohen. It'll be in the 250s, 270s now. It's going to be great. We'll compete with the Dodgers. The problem with them has not been spending money. It's been spending it incorrectly. He's just a disastrous owner. Rob Manfred, I spoke about it, nothing personal this morning. Rob Manfred's doing the Snoopy dance. They've been trying to get Artie Moreno to sell for a decade, and he's now going to get in a yes vote where Artie has been a no vote on everything, and now the new owner will be a yes vote for Rob. So it's a big power change.
Mike Scher joins us every day. Where are you joining us from today?
Los Angeles, my house of Anaheim.
All right. Let's get that set of the day going.
I love Miro, by the way.
Star of the day, star of the day. It is the star of the day.
You mean his painting?
Star of the day.
Yeah.
Star of the day.
Well, I thought he meant Kid Mirror.
I thought so too.
Star Who's of Kid Mirror?
Star of the day. It is the star of the day. Star of the day, star of the day. It is the star of the day.
I'm impressed that you correctly identified the illustrator who made that painting
artist.
Behind me. Oh, well, same
Miro's an artist, not an illustrator. Let's start with that.
Let's learn how to take a compliment.
No, number two.
Just say thank you, man. Just say thank you, David.
Don't you want to know he's not an illustrator? That's like, anyway. So Miro was the colors of Marlins Park is based on Miro. So Peter, I think, got rid of all of them, but there was a red quadrant and a blue quadrant and a yellow quadrant and a green quadrant. Those are Miro's palette colors. And so there's a huge Miro mosaic at Marlins Park. By the way, has anyone been to Marlins Park? Is it gone at the entrance?
I don't remember seeing it. I remember the home run sculptures outside now, but...
No, when you walk in the main entrance, right sort of between first base and home plate, there's a huge mosaic, which is a tile piece of art by Miro. And I have no way of knowing if it's still there. There was a Roy Lichtenstein in the ballpark.
Really?
Who has a similar color palette. I don't know if it's gone now or not. There was a Kenny Scharf, the huge painting. Is that still there? Has anyone been?
I didn't notice any of it, but if I had seen it, I definitely would have been like, oh, it's a fake.
This is one hell of a stat of the
day. I miss Stugatz.
Joan Miró's greatest dream, famously, was to have his work displayed in front of a taxpayer-funded ballpark that no one goes to.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact.
I'm so glad you were able to
I appreciate your input on that, but his estate was only too happy to take the payment for that.
All right, fair enough.
So I appreciate what you're saying. And by the way, just at least get the stat right? Taxpayer-funded is not accurate. I'm happy to correct it for the umpteen millionth time. But if you'd like, it was a 66-33 deal where 33-34% was privately funded, and the other 66% was funded by not a new tax and not an existing tax
that
got greater.
Mike,
we got a stat here? Stat?
No, I'm trying to look at him. I'm looking at you guys. Believe me, I'm not stuttering. I've said the same thing over and over again, but it's just complete ignorance of people to say, oh, it's taxpayer funded.
He complimented you on his way in.
Just say thank you, David.
Say thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Not going to do it. Illustrator.
David, it's nothing personal.
I'm not taking it personally at all, Billy.
This is all brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Nice job on the read.
You're joining us tomorrow.
Folks, impressive. Folks, you guys know LeBron James, the basketball player?
Yes.
LeBron James.
I've seen of it.
LeBron James has played in his career 11,035 minutes in the playoffs. That's 266 games. 11,000 minutes in the playoffs, which is 1,000 more minutes than Steph Curry and Draymond Green combined. And in those games, he averages more points than Steph Curry, more assists than Steph Curry, as many rebounds as Draymond, and his career plus minus in the playoffs is plus 1,310. So LeBron James in the playoffs is basically Steph Curry plus Draymond Green and 1,000 more minutes than the two of them combined. That's incredible to me.
And yet, same number of rings.
Where's Michael Jordan in that list?
Well, the problem is the most sites didn't keep plus minus stats before like 97. So they have incomplete. There's a box plus minus for him. He's number one in box plus minus.
But they'd have minutes, right?
They have minutes. I don't know if he's, I don't think he played more minutes.
Enough with the plus minus. Box plus minus. You put the rings in a box. You count them. He's got six of them.
Are you a ring guy?
Good job.
I'm doing a bit.
No, but are you a ring guy in general? So no. Do you agree that you can be the best player in a sport and have no rings?
Yes.
And if you've got the most rings in a sport, it's not relevant. So Tom Brady having seven rings does not mean he's better than Dan Marino.
It doesn't, but also his
body of
work.
But also he's better than Dan Marino. Yeah.
But also he is. Yeah. But I'm saying
him
in general.
Better than Dan Marino makes him better than Dan Marino.
Right. Just by virtue of being a better player.
Yes.
Yes.
What about, but in an individual sport, Grand Slams, do they matter more than other tournament victories?
Oh, yes.
Because that's an individual sport.
Yes, yes. So there's the factors around that are influencing are, for the most part, under the control of the athlete. Not like, oh, I had a bad wide receiver or my center.
Oh, J.R. Smith didn't know the score.
Yeah.
That type of thing?
I've got a Tom Brady theory, by the way.
What's that?
Seeing some of the photos from training camp after his return.
From Mass Singer?
He went into the shop. Had a little touch-up.
Oh!
He got a little touch-up. I'm not saying he wasn't down. I didn't talk to anybody.
Where? What's your theory specifically? Because now I want to look.
Look, I am not going to say that he didn't have personal stuff going on. I'm sure he might have.
That counts as personal.
But I'm sure he might have. But I'm saying during that time period, dude went into the shop. That hair is looking full. That forehead is like.
Wait, you think
smooth.
He got not Botox or a facelift or a nose job or lip fillers? You think he got hair plugs?
I think he touched up the hair.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
I think he got whole works.
Mike, since the last time we had this conversation about hair transplants in Turkey, I did a lot of research, and it turns out while it has a great success rate, it is not quick by any means.
No.
You were going to look like shit for a good 6 months before
it
starts.
It depends on how dramatic. If you've had several hair plugs, and we know that Tom Brady has certainly had hair plugs in his life, you can do the little touch-up, and after a couple of weeks, you can get away with a comb-over.
Do you use your back hair to do that?
No. They grab it from like
from the back the of the head.
From the back? Yeah. Literally the back of your head, not the back of your back or the front of your back.
Have you ever seen viral videos of people flying back from Turkey? They all have the bandages on their head.
Bleeding.
It is the industry standard, David.
What kind of ego do you need to require? Do you have hair plugs?
No, but I want.
Where?
Why? Do you know where we can get?
Turkey.
No, but where do you not have hair?
My hairline used to be here. Now it's all the way back here. And the top of my head also, there's some thinning there. And this part grows unusually thick for me. So I want them to take that. It's a procedure called FUE. They take the individual hairs and then they implant them and then they grow again.
I assume I'm not your target demographic, but we've now met for the first time. We're sitting a foot away. Mm-hmm. And I must tell you, you look great. I wouldn't have thought that you need any hair issues at all. I didn't look at you and say, wow, you've got a hair problem.
Yeah, but you're looking at him from the front. Show him the back.
Oh, like this part right here? It's thinning. It's thinning.
It's thinning, but not abnormally.
It's not like there's not.
You're
going to
look worse with hair. I'm telling you, people look worse when they do this.
I'm telling you. The stuff they're doing in Turkey right now, fascinating stuff.
First level, that's what Turkey's good at.
I'm telling everybody, no one can take a compliment in this studio, apparently.
Mike Ryan, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Is it your theory that when, remember when Brady had the like the Riggins hair where it was like long and flowing in the back?
Yeah.
Was that him like prepping for like a surgery? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Like he was like, you grow it out so that you can either hide what you're doing or else.
Yeah.
Yes.
The follicles are what's most important.
I thought what Mike was saying was that you grow it out so that when they implant it, it's a nice long hair.
It's a nice long strand. No, but if you look at some of the photos, and given what we know about Tom Brady.
Here's the problem with your theory though. Tom Brady, if he's going to a doctor, you believe... My experience is that athletes and people in front offices, you have the ability to get an appointment when you want it.
Yeah.
Like there's no waiting. Like when teams say, oh, we got an MRI, we'll get the results tomorrow. They're lying to you. The results come within 2 minutes of the MRI. If Tom Brady wanted to get this procedure done, he could have done it during the off season. Do we agree with that?
Right. Yeah,
and
but
he could have gotten an appointment.
That's my problem with your theory. I feel like why would you schedule it for a time when you would draw attention
to yourself? And he didn't change it. So this was a
permanent renter. You don't know anything about the way the world works for those of us with means.
Yeah, he wasn't even planning on being in Tampa. So like that kind of threw his whole off season.
But once he unretired, he could have gotten it done that day.
Why wouldn't he do the Masked Singer allegedly during that off time either? If he, maybe there was something that he felt like, oh, I'm going to reach a whole new audience. I should probably get a little touch up. And he did it on the way.
I think Tom Brady heard me say that when I was in Africa and I asked all those people, so I was in Africa for a month. I asked thousands of people during the course of the month.
You think
he
heard that?
One had heard of Tom Brady.
No.
Not one.
America's a very provincial place.
Much more so than we
think are like. Oh, big deal. Like, nobody knows. Nobody cares. Jess, you made that remark. Remember you told Dan? Like, no one knows who Ezra Miller is. Will Smith is world-renowned.
Exactly. Dan was trying to make a point about, like, why aren't we paying as much attention to this? I'm like, Dan, the Will Smith Oscars thing was an international incident. my sister lives in the continent of Africa, and people asked her about it the entire next
Angola.
Day. Right.
Wow. Have you been to visit?
No, never. I've been to South Africa, but I've never been to Angola.
Would you go to Angola and visit?
Maybe. You would need like a month off work. It's far.
Good thing we have unlimited PTO.
True. All right, I'll see you guys next
time. I think Dan and Stu gets to take as much time as he wants, so just take as much time as you need.
Thanks. All right. Well, you're the boss today, so.
Just go. I'm saying go to Angola. If you have a chance to go, you got to go.
And park on 7th Street.
Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye, folks.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.